Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship. Now we're going to turn to our guest, Scott Harris, founder of Magnetic Real Estate, who's helped drive nearly $2 billion in New York property sales. And he's also a national best-selling author of The Pursuit of Home. What if everything you've been told about buying and selling real estate is backwards? Well, Scott Harris, founder of Magnetic Real Estate and architect of nearly $2 billion in New York City property sales, says most people are chasing homes the wrong way and they're paying for it. So, Scott, tell us, how did you get started in real estate in the first place?
Getting started in real estate really began long before my professional career began. My father is still in commercial real estate. He's a landlord where I grew up in New Orleans. My mom was the marketing director for a franchise of a big national real estate firm. So I grew up with real estate right around the kitchen table, both from the sense of learning about all the deals coming together on my mom's side and with my dad, just how to run a business, all the craziness of tenants. At the same time, my parents were divorced. I was going back and forth as a kid. I didn't think about it until I really got involved in real estate years later. And as I helped people find homes, I realized something was happening to me. And I realized I was kind of healing the wounds of a broken home as a kid. And when I finally realized that, it was like this light bulb went off. And I just was able to bring a lot more compassion to the process of what people actually go through when they go to buy a home. It's very different than what people see on TV. It's very different than what people think. It's not. It's much, much more than just the transaction, that's for sure.
I know we want to dig into that, but before we do, I want to go back to what you said. How did you get the revelation that you were trying to fix what went wrong in your childhood? Because the reason I ask is so many of us are held back by the trauma we endured as children. So how did you come to that revelation?
There's something so satisfying about helping someone find a home. I mean, sure, salespeople and the deals and the rush of all that, but it was something much deeper. I really, I want to help people. I want to understand what makes people tick. That's always what I've loved. There's something about every person that makes them interesting and great. Everyone has a story, and I'm like a bartender. If you sit next to me, odds are I'm going to learn a whole lot of cool things about you because I just kind of want to listen. And at some point, I'm like, you know, I'm doing something that's much bigger than a real estate deal. It felt like it was something sacred, honestly. Like I'm a part of their lives. I'm baked into their lives forever. And as I sort of unpacked that maybe 7-8 years ago, I started to really think about it. And that realization of what we're doing, like that was helping me, it allowed me to be a lot more vulnerable with my clients and like be more real with them. I could have said that that was the turning point for my business too, but I had a lot of successes before that. But just getting real with people and you start to connect and you go, wait a minute, what's happening here? But it took a long time of kind of self-exploration.
In your book, The Pursuit of Home, you take a pretty kind of psychological approach to the whole process of home buying. And you talk about the different needs that are being met when somebody goes through the process of buying a home.
A lot of buyers and sellers look at real estate agents and say, oh, these are people that open the door. They open the door and then they make a bunch of commission. I would turn the whole thing on its head. About 95% of the time, we're doing anything but the transaction. Sure, you have to know your business, but we're therapists, we're cheerleaders, we're coaches, we're marriage counselors, all these other things. I mean, I was a psych major in college and I was a history minor. It's like where people and their stories come together. That's what's going on. You're managing the people. It's a people first business. And if you treat it like a transaction, and a lot of agents start by doing that, I know I sure did. I went in thinking, oh, I just want to get the deal done and get paid and all this stuff. And then a couple years in, I'm like, it doesn't feel right at all. And I had to shift gears. And I started to realize that people are trying to do something big in their lives. And if you come from that future place when you're there and you help them paint that picture, all of a sudden the process changes because they know you care and you're focused on what you're trying to help them achieve, rather than just how many bedrooms, you know, what school district and things like that.
So one of the things that you mentioned is sometimes you act like a counselor or marriage counselor. Can you give us an example of how that actually played itself out in a transaction that you did?
Oh, all the time. But let's say there was a couple I sat with. They wanted to buy an apartment here in Manhattan where I do business. And I'm sitting there listening to the husband. I'm listening to the wife. He says something. She shoots him down. She's like, diminished, kind of just knocking him. And something just didn't add up. I'm watching this unfold and I'm just loud. Like, I'm creating space for them to, for the first time, because I would say most people spend more time planning their vacation than they ever do planning for what is really the biggest thing they're going to do. One of the most consequential things they do. So they're in the room and I'm just allowing them to kind of hear each other. And something is, they're just talking past each other, or even worse, they got divorced a year later. Huh. Right. And so I'm kind of at the front end of just creating, like, what is this going to be? Because they have different communication styles. It's just like marriage. They have to come together. But when it comes to the home, they often haven't had anyone listen to them or ask them these questions. Not everybody goes to marriage therapy either, right? Not everybody thinks they need it. But in that sense, it's really important to allow them to hear each other talk. And I'm like that fly on the wall. The psychology of real estate is really about the people. And I have a whole system that I call the magnetic method that's all about how do you manage people from here to the closing table.
Emotions do play a large part. So we love to watch Love It or List It. Do you know
show? Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so people will be in this tiny little house and they can get another house that's much bigger, but they redo the tiny little house and they've always lived there. And so they stay in the tiny little house. Mm-hmm. That's a completely emotional decision, right? Because they could have had a better house. So how do emotions play into this and how do you work with that?
Well, when we sit down with them, you start to get a sense of their communication style. But all the while, I know that buying a home, moving, is one of the most stressful things people put themselves through. So I'm meeting people at their absolutely most stressed out. So my job is to stay super calm. You know, I'm here, like, I've seen it before. Yell at me, do whatever you need to do. I don't take anything personally. And people often, as the process goes along, at every step, people's baggage, people's emotional stuff shows up. They get an accepted offer on a property, and all of a sudden they freak out. If they have trust issues, then the trust issues come out. If they have money issues, the money issues come out. If they have been burned, just relationship issues. I really think the home buying process is an emotional journey. It's actually a self-help program in a lot of ways. And it's one that most Americans go through.
Absolutely.
The biggest self-help program that there is, essentially.
And how do you feel when you're going through this process?
I am so in love with my clients. The crazier they are, the more I love them. I've talked to my agents yesterday. They're having the buyers are having a meltdown about something. And I said, have some compassion for these people. They are so stressed out. They're trying to sell. They're trying to buy. They're kids. They're throwing their whole life up in the air. And it's stressful. And I often hear this every time they introduce me, that person's crazy, right? That person's crazy. That person's crazy. They're not crazy. They're just human beings. And I have a lot of compassion for what they're going through. And I'm here to guide them, to really be that force for good for them. And at the end of the day, if they find a home that they love, it's going to change the course of their life. I mean, the house is like a foundation for everything they want to do in their lives. It's a partnership between them and this house. People start their businesses in their house. I mean, how many garage businesses start? That house is a big deal. And if they get it wrong, it could really cause a lot of problems in their lives, too.
So in the real estate world, is your brand the compassionate realtor, the understanding realtor? How would you define yourself? And how could somebody build a brand like that?
It takes a willingness to listen to the feedback you get. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, I wouldn't say when I'm a nice guy, something has gone wrong. Because being nice is telling people what they want to hear. I would, if anything, I want to be thought of as a kind person, because kindness can be tough love. Kindness is telling people what they need to hear. But buyers or sellers have come to me and said, I'm calling you because someone told me that you were a lovely broker. Those are two words that don't go together. And I was like, huh. And I started to hear things like, you're not a jerk. You're not a beep. You know, like, you're not a bad guy. And we have a reputation that's probably along the same lines as tow truck drivers and meter maids. Like, real estate agents are not well thought of. In every business I've ever been in, a lot of them are shady. They, like, have a bad reputation. I want to be that person who stands out.
Lawyers have that challenge, too, sometimes.
Right, exactly.
Well, I find that a lot of the real estate agents in our neighborhood, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, it feels like they're very prima donna-ish, and they're just doing it for their own egos.
Mm-hmm.
I do find a lot of people are that way in your business.
I think agents get that reputation because we have to market ourselves and we have to put ourselves so out there and to be top of mind. And it can feel a little tacky. Just it triggers you because you don't want to be that person doing that. And it's you're really putting yourself out there in such a big way. You're on a billboard. You're on a bus stop. You're on the side of a bus, right? Like it's such a weird thing to do. And so I understand how it feels like they're doing it for themselves. But I have to say, like, I do all these videos and I'm on podcasts and stuff. I would rather just hang out with you one to one. And it's sort of a necessary thing that agents have to do sometimes.
Oh,
I'm not defending them, by the way.
No. I just think there's different perceptions. You don't seem like a real estate agent, like the ones I've met.
I get that all the time. Yeah,
you seem a lot more real. And I'm sure it's a difficult position to be put in because people, this is their biggest purchase of their lives probably. And they're going to blame you if something goes wrong, right?
Oh, all the time. I'm the bad guy. What happens is before the closing, I get blamed for everything, and then I will get a call after because I just listen. Let them get their, you know, run, take as much time as you need to get out your energy, and then they call me later like, I'm sorry, I'm really happy in this home and all of that. But yeah, we end up being the brunt. We bear the brunt of a lot of emotions. That's for sure.
So what do you do when the couple are at odds and diametrically opposed and have completely different visions of what their house should be and what they should look like?
I'll take it a step further. I'm working with a couple right now. Of course, I don't kiss and tell, but they want to spend about $3 million in Manhattan on the east side, which you think, oh, that's so much money maybe, but it's like a two-bedroom apartment, right? Sometimes. The wife is so excited. They live on the West Coast. They want to have a place here. The husband, I know, has no interest in buying. He literally sabotages everything they see. And I'm okay with it. It's going to take as long as it takes. What will end up happening is that the wife will end up saying, buddy, we're doing this and I don't care. And she'll make it happen. But I have to, it's almost like you just have to let, I call it align. There are four steps to my magnetic method. The first is just getting people activated and off the couch. The second is getting the two people, usually it's a couple, getting them aligned. And right now I'm just letting them act out, you know, letting the husband just shoot down things that I'm watching. And we're just letting it happen. We're not getting confrontational. But it takes time. When they're diametrically opposed, you have to sometimes, you're a therapist. You're like, I hear you saying this. I hear you saying this. You have to really be careful with the way you communicate so they know you care and that you're not just, you can ruin trust so quickly if you do or say the wrong thing. These are super successful people with a lot of money. This is the most liquid market in the country. And it's crazy how you have to wear the money hat and the emotional hat and just know when to trade hats.
When you are coaching other real estate agents, what are some of the things that you tell them not to do to destroy trust?
You have to be very careful about how you explain things so that when you put forms and things in front of them, they don't go, what is this? They don't get, because automatically the trust level is so low. You have to build the trust and be very strategic about when you have these conversations. And you have to, it's care first. I think one of the biggest mistakes, it's not what you're saying to the client. It's just when they're acting out, you come to me and you just, all you do is complain about how they're this and they're that. And I'm like, these are human beings going through a tough thing. Your job is to care for them. When they know you care about them, the door opens and you get to hold their hand and get them, you will get them to the closing table. But it's hard.
Well, that's great. We're with Scott Harris from Magnetic Real Estate. Coming up, we'll talk more with Scott, and later we'll hear about the Google engineer caught selling AI secrets to the Chinese companies. Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gerhardt. We'll be back right after this commercial break.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-261-2176. 800-261-2176. That's 800-261-2176.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan or just not happy with what you're paying for? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate or at little or no cost to you? Your life needs are always changing, but have you done anything to improve your health insurance for you and your family? Health insurance laws and coverage are always changing and getting better. It's impossible to do all the research yourself, but now it's all done for you for free. So regardless of your age or medical condition, take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
Paid for by Cheaper Health Insurance. 800-652-1470. 800-652-1470. 800-652-1470. That's 800-652-1470.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Scott Harris, founder of Magnetic Real Estate and national bestselling author of The Pursuit of Home, a real estate guide to achieving the American dream. Scott, what's your book about?
What I describe is that what you see on TV, on reality TV, what you see on social media has really skewed the perception of what real estate really is. And what it is, buying a home is an emotional journey that you start on, and it is a roller coaster that ultimately ends, hopefully, with a lot of self-awareness of who you are and who you're becoming. And that home can be a real tangible representation of who you are and who you're becoming, right? And it's a roadmap. How do you get off the couch and to the closing table and beyond? And it's really, you could also call this book The Psychology of Real Estate. It's what actually happens that no one talks about and everyone goes through.
So everybody should have to read this before they get their license, right?
Whether they get their license as real estate agents or whether this is the book that real estate agents wish their buyers would read.
Ah, okay.
People just don't think about this as a real emotional journey, as a psychological, maybe a spiritual journey. So buyers go in this half-cocked. They don't even realize that finding the right agent is a huge deal.
So
huge.
How do you find the right agent for you?
Well, we're talking about one is like, if I'm talking to home buyers, how do they find the right agent? Get to know your own communication style. Interview a couple of agents. You don't just go with your cousin or go with your friend. They may not speak your language.
So somebody once told me, pick the agent that has the most signs up in the neighborhood you want to live in.
Well, we talked earlier about having that feeling that the agent really has their own interests at heart. If you feel that way about an agent, you don't hire them, right? You can be an agent for 25 years and be so self-centered that you kind of like feel the buyer might feel like an afterthought. Hmm. And somebody who might be doing this for 2 years cares deeply about you, and they can work on a team or at a company where they learn enough about the real estate process. They're the perfect agent.
And because they care about you and the transaction, there's a higher likelihood of success, of you getting the home that you want, because you're working with somebody who cares about the outcome.
What happens, it's a very easy, you don't have to, this is not a neck up decision. If you are with an agent and all of a sudden you feel frustrated, like they're not listening to you, they're sending things that don't really work, it's not a connection. You can't focus on what's most important for you. That's a really easy litmus test. Are you frustrated? Do you feel like they're not talking to you in a way? Are they not giving you the information in the way that you can process it? You know, if you're emotional, it's very easy. In the book, I talk about there's an assessment, right? There's an assessment that it's free resources. It's on our website too. But you can very quickly understand what is your personality type? What's your communication style? And then interview them and see how you feel. It's not complicated at all. Anyone can understand, oh, this person, this works. Even if you don't know your communication style, you just use that as a litmus test, it'll work. But if you get to know your own personality, you can actually tell someone, hey, I'm going to need more data. I'm going to take a long time to make a decision. I'm going to have to see a lot of houses. And some agents might go, well, I'm not going to work with you. And some other agents are like, I get it. You're a data-driven person. And somebody else is like an executive. They're like, if I can't read it in 3 bullet points on my phone, I'm not reading it. They just want you to build trust and then take care of it for them, right? Mm-hmm. You have to know who your buyer is. And I tell buyers, you don't have to change. You don't have to change your personality. It's my job as an agent to change your personality, to understand and navigate your personality.
Well, when Richard and I moved up to the Northeast to New Jersey, we came from the Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. So we had a 4,000 square foot house in Atlanta that sold for a pittance.
$300,000. Yeah, it was $365,000. Yeah.
And we came up here and we were crying. Anyway, the company assigned us a real estate agent. It was this little old lady. And I was like, is she the right agent for us? But it turned out she was. Mm-hmm. And she was very patient with us because we were, of course, freaking out looking at these like older, smaller houses. Mm-hmm. She drove me through this neighborhood and said, if you ever find a house for sale in this neighborhood, this is where you should buy, which we did. And that was probably the best real estate decision we've ever made, really. Yeah, so she was right. But I think her thing was she really knew the area. And when you're coming from out of town to someplace, you really want somebody who knows the stuff but doesn't have their ego all involved in selling you like a house you can't afford, right?
Yeah, it's sitting with you. And I talk about this very early on in the book. The questions that most websites, if you go on any real estate website, it's like, how many bedrooms? What's your neighborhood? You know, do you want to be next to this church or that or whatever? These are all the wrong questions to start with because you get totally intimidated by the price point and you shut down. The questions should be starting with, who are you? What are you about? Like just getting to know, like, what are you trying to do? You're moving to this area. Why are you moving here? Try to understand, like, what are you trying to achieve in your life? If you get that right, people just relax. And all of a sudden, they'll open up and they'll start saying things and they won't even realize what they wanted because they start with a checklist. 99% of the time, that checklist is not the real checklist. The real checklist kind of emerges and it comes out only after people feel comfortable.
There was one thing on our checklist that was non-negotiable, though. We moved up here, and right after we moved up, it snowed like crazy. Mm-hmm. So the one thing was a 2-car attached garage.
All right, you know yourself. You live in Atlanta. You live in Atlanta. You do not want to ever shovel snow. You got very used to no snow.
We didn't want to shovel snow. Does it sometimes seem like people don't really know what they want sometimes?
Every time.
Yeah.
If you think about anything in the world that you've been exposed to, nothing is more than homes. You're in homes. You're at your friends' homes. You've lived in lots of homes. You've gone to summer camp and you're in a cabin. You're everywhere is a space. And on TV every day, you're seeing all of these images, every commercial, every TV show, everything is a house and a space. You have this preconceived notion of what it's supposed to be. Nancy Meyer movies. Every house is beautiful. Doesn't matter if you're like a janitor. You have a gorgeous house. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So you have to unpack, kind of get below all of this noise, cut through it to get to what's real. So every time, what actually is important to you is something else. And you have to be open to learning what that is. And it's a really fun thing when people go, oh, I didn't realize that. Because they go into a house and there's a checklist that it's supposed to check all the boxes. And they walk in and they don't like it. And they're like, what is going on? I don't understand. But you have to cut through that to really understand like what you actually would love. That makes sense.
Scott Harris, founder of Magnetic Real Estate. It's been an amazing conversation. But before we leave the segment, Scott, what is the one thing, the most important thing that you want to leave our audience with when it comes to buying or selling a house?
Be prepared. Take some time to be prepared before you start. Get clear on why are you doing this? What is most important to you? Start to understand your own communication style. Take a beat. And just get to know yourself as much as you can and talk to your spouse. 70% of people are buying with a partner. So whether you're married or not, if you take that minute to be a little bit more prepared, this process can be fun. It can be fun. I promise it can be fun. It does not have to be stressful. It can be actually much more enjoyable if you just get a little bit more prepared.
That's great. And where can people find you?
Well, if they want to look up the book, The Pursuit of Home, they can go to pursueyourhome.com, where you can get free resources. There's a whole bunch there that they don't have to necessarily buy the book right away. And if they want to learn about what I do with my real estate agents and my real estate business, they can go to magneticre.com.